TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's news talk radio. TNT.
This is going to be a fun hour. My guest this hour, Bruce DeTorres, is someone who is after my own heart. After getting a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in acting and directing and pursuing his acting career to some success, performing in lead roles in comedies, dramas, and musical, he decided to write a book about energy, consciousness, and the nature of reality. And then 9/11 happened. So after years of research, he decided to incorporate what he learned about 9/11 and similar things in his book, God's School, 9/11, and JFK, The Lies That Are Killing Us and the Truth That Sets Us Free. He's also a drummer in a rock band, and this is where I think it's a lot of fun. Bruce doesn't know this, but my trademark on my Patriot Uprising TV show was air drumming. I would air drum intro to each song. In fact, I didn't get 15 minutes of fame, but I got 15 seconds of fame, Bruce. I was in Nick Searcy's documentary, Chris Burgard directed, Capital Punishment. And I got a 7-minute clip or 7-second clip in the body of the documentary, but I got 8 seconds air drumming with Nick Searcy while he played air guitar to We're Not Gonna Take It at the end of the credits rolled. So that was a lot of fun. But I've always loved drummers. Ringo was my favorite Beatle. So I'm really happy to talk to you. Welcome to The Reckoning, Bruce DeTorres.
Timothy, thank you. I love drumming too, so that's pretty awesome. And here we are, yeah.
So, God, school, 9/11, and JFK, not four things that most people think would go together. Tell us about the book.
Well, thanks. Those are the first four. No, those are not the first four chapters. Each one of those is a nice, strong, robust chapter, and it is wrapped. It starts with my intention to put on the table a nice summary of hopefully the best thinking of the nature of reality according to not only mysticism but also quantum physics. And it all is an exploration of those first few chapters are about energy and consciousness and the nature of reality. Do our thoughts become things? And those inflame me with great excitement about the possibility that this is a completely mystical and magical realm. That's what I set out to write. And I didn't want to repeat what is findable in the classics about those topics, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, Think and Grow Rich, the work of Marianne Williamson, Course in Miracles. I studied all those, and I'm fans of all those, and those are in the back as references and sources. So I condensed my message about that, Timothy, down to about 40 pages. I put it in a drawer. I got it out of my system, and I didn't think, well, what is that? Is that just a long article? I left it there. And then in 2004, I was encouraged to look at 9/11, which had happened 3 years earlier, and had my mind blown that such a colossal catastrophe, attack, crime, could be an inside job aided and abetted, if not perpetrated, by our government, and never looked back. And for 10 years, I followed where those topics led me. The money, Wall Street, the Bushes, Skull and Bones, and the creation of the Federal Reserve. So there's a chapter, A Brief History of the United States, where I consolidate the founding, the miracle of the founding, and a lot of false flags along the way, and got it all in 2000, and I submitted it for publication to Chris Milligan at Trine Day. And he said, it can't come out for a year. And this was the first year of COVID in 2020. So, okay. So I kept studying. I started studying COVID and got a chapter in the book called COVID-19 and started helping Chris with other things. And now I'm his marketing director. And the book came out a year and a half ago. And I've gotten great reviews for it from tons of folks that I was reading their books. But because I'm published by Trine Day, it's a nice foot in the door for people who love the truth. So if people go to my site, brucedetouris.com, mostly what you'll see is a long list of great reviews about the book. And that'll show people if it's for them. And there's a bunch of other things on my site, Timothy. And that's my book.
Yeah. And that's brucedetouris.com. That's Bruce, BRUCEDETORRES.com. And also you'll find the Trine Day podcast on his site there. Or you can go to trineday.com directly to see more titles. It's trineday.com. So what did you, interestingly, what have you found out? What leads you to think that 9/11 might have been an inside job? And to what extent do you think it might have been an inside job?
Well, I'm completely convinced, and I have been for years. And there's just so many great resources out there. My book as a starter, because my chapter is like a collection of the conclusions, and then there's the resources in the back. And that's the most powerful thing about my book, is that for all these topics, it would get anyone up to speed from zero, someone who believes the official stories about everything, and persuade them hopefully to do more research and get convinced themselves. But I'll submit to you this: no buildings ever collapsed as fast as those buildings did on 9/11. No inexperienced pilots could do what we're told inexperienced pilots do. Fires don't bring down buildings like that. Inexperienced pilots can't fly planes like that. And on and on and on and on and on. But the most amazing thing to really tip people over, I think, is to learn about Building 7, World Trade Center. Building 7 was a third building in downtown New York that came down in the afternoon. I don't know how many Americans know about it, so I don't want to say most don't know about it, but to me, it's the smoking gun, because it was not hit by a plane. Not that planes can take buildings down. And if you study how all the buildings came down, they basically came down at free fall speed, which means something, explosives, was taking all the mass, all the resistance of the lower floors out of the way. For something to fall at free fall speed means there's nothing resisting the path down. So the buildings didn't collapse. They were blown up in midair, sequentially, floor by floor coming down, and it creates the illusion of descent. And you add to that the anomalies and the problems with what happened at the Pentagon, the witnesses who heard multiple explosions, and also the shenanigans out in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the lack of plane parts, no bodies, no luggage in that burning scar in the ground. And we're supposed to believe, and the U.S. government claims the plane just disintegrated on impact, which has never happened before or since in a crash like that. Those are the major things that will convince, when you really see them, anybody that, okay, the official versions of all those events just cannot be true.
So you're of the opinion that literally hundreds of miles of electronic wiring were strung throughout both towers, hundreds of miles. You think about how much a 1 mile would be on a reel. You think hundreds of miles of wire were run through the Trade Center, and explosive placed all around the perimeter to enable the floors to collapse in a building that's open 24 hours a day and populated 24 hours a day in a city that the buildings had been attacked in 1993 and people were hyper vigilant about it. You think that happened?
The The research that has been done by hundreds, if not thousands, of people and compiled in many books, seminars, lectures, and documentaries, Tim, persuades me, if I was the member of a jury, I've been ready for years to cast my verdict beyond a reasonable doubt that those buildings were destroyed by explosives.
How were the buildings constructed?
Well, that's a great question. They were basically steel boxes with very, very narrow windows, specifically to be strong enough to withstand two or more strikes by airplanes, because they were unbelievably tall. They were about a quarter mile tall. And the architects who made them said, these buildings are like the screen on your window. You push a pencil through the screen, it makes a perforation, but all the weight of the upper floors is instantly absorbed by the webbing of steel. This building had a lot of its strength in its outer walls. Plus, it had 47 steel columns going up the center. And there was a lot of construction and strange activity in the buildings for weeks, maybe months prior to 9/11, where whole floors or sections of the building were sealed off, no access. And the people who worked there, who survived or who didn't go into work that day, most people did not go into work that day. Who knows? You know, that's a great area of study too, to find out, like, those buildings could hold, I think, 10 or 12,000 people each, and a total of about 3,000 were killed. So they were very, very vacant those days, which is good news. But you're asking the great questions of a skeptic, and that's the resistance that the truth and truth tellers have to patiently lay out, because to grow up believing that our government does good, and to grow up believing what the mainstream media reports, as I did and many people do, to hear me say categorically, it's a giant, you know, it's a giant fraud, it's a giant crime, and the people we see on TV every single day, whom we trust, and they are celebrated as celebrity anchors and politicians, they're all telling a lie, Bruce. And Tim, I got to tell you, yeah, about 9/11 and about many, many other things that are jaw-dropping.
Well, what you described was it was correct to the extent that it was complete. The buildings were constructed with an interior steel girder core where the elevator shafts were, and the external frame of the building was all steel columns, which is why the windows were so narrow. And the construction you described is exactly why the buildings didn't fall immediately upon being struck by an airliner going full speed, fully laden with fuel. But I will tell you, I knew those buildings were coming down before those buildings even came down, right? My wife called me up, yelled out the window. I was taking the garbage out. It was a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky, just a gorgeous late summer day in Boston. She goes, you've got to see this. Come quickly. And I said, what? And she goes, just come. And when I went upstairs, as soon as my head got above the floor, the second story, I looked in and saw the TV. I saw one of the planes on fire, and I said, oh my God, what have they done? Because I knew what they'd done. I knew they'd flown a plane into the tower. And she said it was a Cessna. I said, come on, you're a private pilot. That's no Cessna. I said, that was a jetliner. And we stood there and watched as the second plane went in. And I knew when I saw that fireball of the second plane hitting, I knew those towers were coming down, Bruce, because as a boy, architecture was my first love. And I'd watched them being built. I'd seen shows about how they were built. The external walls of the building formed most of the support, along with the central core, as you stated. But the key to understanding what happened is that the concrete floors were joined to those exterior columns and the interior columns by inch or inch and a half thick steel ties, right? Think of those steel, think of the barbs on a barbed wire fence, right? How the wire is wrapped around. They were like that. There were big bolts and they were tied together with these big steel ties. And because there were so many of them, each individual one only carried a portion of the load. Well, anybody that's ever seen someone shoe a horse, make a horseshoe out of a piece of iron, knows that you don't have to melt metal to weaken it. And those fires weakened those ties to the point where they gave way. And one, they gave way 30 floors, 35 floors above the top of the building. So you had all that weight above those floors that had been impacted, pancaking down. And that's what brought those towers down. There's no way possible. And I know people that were there and that survived that day too. And they said, there's no way possible you could have strung the hundreds of miles worth of wire. And I've had people that were, one friend of mine owns a demolition company. And he said, there's no way that that happened on Tower 1 and Tower 2. But we can talk more after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
I'm getting a little tired of people who think Elon, and I'm talking to my neighbors, they think he's a savior and he's just this fantastic guy that came in and is going to save, you know, our free speech. I'm not so convinced. When he did the Mike Alex Jones thing and said, I lost a baby in my arms, therefore I can't have someone who profits. Made an emotional billionaire makes a decision of who's allowed on and who's not. No, no, no. A poll on Donald Trump. Now, I've been told that the polls that he's been doing are a way to draw out bots and a way to expose the bots so that he can get rid of them. I don't know. It's possible that he's got other designs, but I still think it's just a muddled policy. And as far as I know, a lot of the big names, Naomi Wolf and many others who I've followed who were banned, are still not back this much later. I think they should just go back to the 2015 Twitter policy. They could never be accused of fascism. It would be the same thing that they had, and it would have no, just again, if it's illegal, if it's spamming, if it's harassment, traditional things, but nothing to do with content, not because, oh, you know, I lost a baby in my arm, so that person's banned, and this person over here will just do a poll on and see what people think. It's just not working out there.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds. They do it by the types of hosts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
TNTradio.live.
I just kind of stream it online.
Yeah, online.
Listen online every day.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My guest this hour, Bruce DeTorres, is the author of God School, 9/11, and JFK. Bruce, just quickly, with regard to Building 7, that didn't fall in free fall. It actually fell over onto the Verizon building across the street. And there's a great engineering report about that. And as for Shanksville, the cockpit ended up 200, 300 meters ahead of the crash site into the woods. And one of the engines was recovered. There's a 40-foot mound of earth, and they decided to leave the plane buried. The plane kind of accordioned, and they decided to leave it buried in the ground. The velocity just drove it into the ground rather than it didn't skim across the ground like most plane crashes would. But I think what we saw happen on 9/11 is what actually happened. Where I think the inside job angle comes, you got to go back before 9/11. What did Bill Clinton do? Kenya offered us Osama bin Laden on a silver platter. And Clinton said no. We know now that George Bush is from a long line of people that didn't always work for the betterment of America, including his father, President George H.W. Bush, former CIA director George H.W. Bush, then congressman, or previously congressman, was photographed on the steps of a building near the Texas Depository building the day JFK was shot. So I think, to the extent that 9/11 may have been an inside job, I think they either had advanced warning of it, or they were somehow complicit with Osama bin Laden, with the Saudis. And I think that's an angle that would be much more fruitful to explore. Do you explore that in your book?
Yes, I do. And just to go back to how the towers may have been demolished, I refer you and anyone else to Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. I believe their site is ae911truth.org. Also to see what they have presented about Building 7 and how fast that came down.
And that's fair enough.
Yeah. And, you know, if you and I would be on the same jury if we had both seen the same evidence presented in court, or had seen, you know, read the same books, watched the same documentaries, with or without popcorn, you know, and then, you know, you and I can fairly, discuss your conclusions, then you could fairly, you know, understand why do I have my certainty.
Look, I've kicked the tires in this. I never draw a conclusion until I try to look at all the evidence. But I really think that this Tucker Carlson and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. called it the bravest newscast in 60 years. Tucker Carlson spoke with someone who had access to the papers that CIA is still illegally withholding. And he said, yes, in my opinion, they killed JFK. The government is a fake. It's not what you think it is. It's all fake. According, you know, that's a direct quote. It's all fake. And I think that, as you said, anybody that thinks that the government always tells the truth is living in some kind of fantasy land. But I think that's the real connection between 9/11 and JFK. I think that CIA has been running a shadow government since the creation of CIA. I think they killed Jack because he was going to smash it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds, as he put it. And I think that's the real threat to liberty, democracy, our constitutional republic. What connections did you find between background dealings of our agencies with 9/11 and with JFK?
Oh, a lot. And it's there's a nice tangent in my 9/11 chapter on the CIA, recounting its origins, recounting the role of George H.W. Bush and the influence of his membership in Skull and Bones, as well his father, as well his son, George W. And
as well as John Kerry.
I think, yeah, I've mentioned him as also a member of Skull and Bones in my book, too. Someone read my book and they said, you know, Bruce, this is like Billy Joel's song, "We Didn't Start the Fire." It's just then this happened, that happened, you know.
Yeah.
I took that as a compliment because that's, you know, I just kind of loaded it all in there. And I got, like I say, tons of sources. There's tons of evidence implicating the father, George H.W. Bush, excuse me, in the assassination of President Kennedy. Obviously, his son also was, president during 9/11. The Bush family were personal friends and business partners with the bin Ladens in an oil endeavor in Texas from the 1970s. So that's why it was so stunning to me. And I did 10 years of research before I thought, wow, I'm going to wrap all these horrors in my quote unquote good news about the nature of reality, because if we are eternal souls who've come here for whatever we've decided we're here for, and we could debate that for a long, long time, we are then we're safe. And this is really some kind of school or a place to transcend past life, you know, troubles and traumas. And I consider that good news, because the bleakness of, you know, what our government does and where the country's going and where the world's going is, it's not for the faint of heart. And we have to encourage each other. I make the case like parents, we have to parent ourselves. They're there, everything's okay. And like a good dad, you can do this. We can handle the truth, and we have to encourage each other to, you know, get calm, look at the truth, and then figure out, okay, now what can we do? Because we are speeding toward a number of cliffs, like I say. And, you know, in a nutshell, it's the Nazification of the planet. You know, what happened to Nazi Germany in the 30s, I believe, is happening worldwide. And that's how perilous.
I concur wholeheartedly, and I want to dig into that a little bit more, because I love everything you just said after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Time to read some news.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The January 6th Special House Committee has referred 4 criminal charges against former President Trump. Britain's High Court ruled Monday that a plan to send asylum seekers on a one-way trip to Rwanda is legal, but the government must consider the circumstances of each case before deporting anyone. A 54-year-old man in Spain was arrested by police for allegedly causing at least 19 forest fires in the province of Cáceres over the last 2 years that devastated nearly 3,000 acres.
Merry Christmas!
From our family to yours.
Happy holidays!
I love this Christmassy time of year.
TNT.
My guest this hour, Bruce DeTorres, the author of God's School, 9/11, and JFK, The Lies That Are Killing Us and the Truth That Sets Us Free. You can get a copy at trinday.com, trinedaway.com. Check him out at brucedetorres.com. That's brucedetorres.com, and including his Trine Day podcast there. Bruce, before the news, you said something that really resonated about how we need to parent each other and how we're heading toward a number of cliffs. A lot of frustration. I ended the first hour tonight talking about how it's futile to expect there to be prosecution of any of the criminals that we've seen. You know, Hillary Clinton wasn't prosecuted for all her crimes. Benghazi, the email server, deleting the emails, destroying evidence that was under subpoena, etc. And it's kind of a fool's errand to expect or hope for or even try to work toward getting any justice when you've got a corrupt DOJ, a corrupt FBI. And what we really need to do is take care of each other, help each other find the truth, and get to a place where these things aren't as impactful. We don't waste our psychic energy on them. We take care of things that we can take care of, primarily being ourselves, our families, and our local communities, right? It's like what they say to parents. If you're in a plane and you have to go to the oxygen mask, you put your own on before you put your child's on. Because if you go to put your child's on first, you're going to end up passing out and not being good to anybody. So it's the same kind of thing, but on a more of a societal level.
Yes, and I love that last point you made, because I've often thought about that as a personal favorite, thinking about why should I put it on first before my kid? And I agree with what you said. You don't want to pass out before you can help your kid. But I've also thought, if the kid sees you do it, they'll let you put this strange foreign plasticky orange thing on their face. But if you just try to put it on their face, they've never seen you'd put it on your face. They don't know what you're doing or why. But like, oh, now we wear these things if they see you do it first. That's just a minor little point. I'm not correcting you, Tim. It's just my
No. This is why I love talking to people with different backgrounds, because I'm a biologist by training, okay? And the biology of it is that children are more resistant to oxygen deprivation than adults are, right? So we have a greater need for the immediate oxygen than they do biologically. But I love that kind of psychology, human behavior type thing. I never thought about it that way, that the child might be freaked out having you put the mask on him if he doesn't see you having yours on. So thank you for that.
Oh, goody. And the local, back to the point, you know, taking care of ourselves, that is, you know, it takes young people decades to appreciate the power of the ancient advice, know thyself. Why do I do what I do? Why do I think what I think? Why do I keep making the same mistakes? And how do I change? And fast forward, the bottom line about that is, yeah, we must take care of our own stress and focus on what we would like instead of just creating echo chambers of complaining about the problems that they're doing to us and they're doing to us and they're doing to us. It's very, very urgent now with the COVID harm of the vaccines. I don't know where you stand on that, Tim. Tell me, but I'm convinced that we're going to see a growing amount of injuries and deaths where it's going to be common public mainstream knowledge that we've created a health catastrophe and we're dealing with it very publicly, and in the mainstream is going to acknowledge it, that the vaccines were a huge killer.
Well, there's a number of ways I could answer your question. I'll answer by saying that my Facebook wallpaper today was a copy of Emerald Robinson's tweet that which said, I think this is an exact quote. If not, it's pretty close. The uncomfortable silence you're hearing is the unvaccinated, or the vaccinated realizing that the unvaccinated were right. Okay, I was out, again, biologist by training. So I was out in early March when they canceled the ACC basketball tournament. That was the first thing. I think the ACC was the first one. Anyway, when they started canceling the conference basketball championship tournaments in early March, mid-March of 2020, and they were talking about the R-naught value with panic every single night, I was out on my platforms saying, no, you don't know what the R-naught value is. It is literally impossible to calculate because you have no idea what the denominator of the ratio is. You have no idea how many people have been exposed to this virus. Therefore, you cannot determine the rate of infection if you don't know how many people have been exposed. So everything you're hearing is garbage. They're pushing fear. And I was at April 15th, 2020, I was on Mike Moore's True Pundit podcast explaining the molecular biology of these DNA vaccines or mRNA vaccines that they tried to get approved for literally 30 years. Fauci tried getting an AIDS mRNA vaccine approved and never could. And, you know, came out against remdesivir, which was so deadly in an Ebola study that it was unethical to continue the remdesivir treatments because too many patients were dying. And that was to combat Ebola. So remdesivir was more deadly than the Ebola, right? And yet that was the mandated protocol. They murdered untold tens of thousands with the remdesivir protocol, with the ventilators in hospital. I have been out against all these psyops, the masks, anti-science, masks, social distancing, all anti-science. So I'm right there with you. And I think it's the greatest psyop and the greatest crime against humanity.
Yeah.
Since, I don't know if you want to say since the Holocaust, since Mao's Cultural Revolution, since Pol Pot's killing fields, pick your genocide. I think this tops them all.
As do I. And are you aware of Naomi Wolf and her team that's analyzing the Pfizer documents that came out?
I love Naomi. I give her, the people I call out, Bruce, are Bill Maher, Dr. Naomi Wolf, Russell Brand, and now Tim Robbins even came out this week and said, you know, he's about as far left as you can get in Hollywood, Susan Sarandon's husband, Tim Robbins. Mm-hmm. And he came out and said, we turned into monsters. We were saying that people who disagreed with our medical understanding should die. We were out on social media saying people needed to die. He goes, what the hell happened to us? So I give all of these people that were ordinarily seen as left wing, who are now standing up for the truth. I might not agree with them on tax policy or abortion or a lot of other things, but these are patriots who love America, who love the Constitution, who love the Bill of Rights. And I am so gratified that they've had the courage to stand up. And I'm also glad that they've seen the hate that we were putting up with for years. They saw it themselves and like, wow, this is really something. These guys weren't kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for folks who want to know why I said what I said about the harm of the vaccines, two sites, Daily Clout, the words Daily Clout, CLOUT.io. That's Naomi Wolf's organization. And she's got 3,500 experts for the last many, many months since the Pfizer documents were forced out, analyzing and proving that Pfizer knew how harmful their vaccine was. And the other resource is called vacsafety.org, vacsafety.org. That is Steve Kirsch's outfit. You know who he is and what he does all the time, Tim?
I do. I read Naomi and Steve religiously. They've been putting out some great stuff.
Nice. Great. Maybe your listeners are familiar with them, but that's another place, folks, where...
In fact, and Peter McCulloch has been out as well. We've had him on the show. I would love to get Dr. Wolf on the show as well, if she's listening.
Yeah.
Give us a jingle.
Right. Because the sooner more people know and see the evidence for themselves, the sooner they can get over the horror and then reorient their lives to deal with and find the folks who are suffering in silence right now with injuries that are blossoming and challenge doctors to help their patients when they come to them and say, "Doctor, I took the vaccine and now I really feel bad." And the doctors, many of them say, "Well, it wasn't the vaccine. It's this, that, and the other baloney," because they're afraid of losing their jobs and their licenses. And they need to grow a backbone and really protect us and work for our health. And then to have the courage, everybody, to have more conversations like this, because the sooner more people are pressuring truth, honesty, and protection from our representatives and from the healthcare industry, the sooner we'll deal with the enormity of what's already there. If it doesn't get any worse, and it's just this one big wave hurting and killing people who took all the shots and the boosters, it's as big as you described, Tim, in terms of the level of the genocide. But if they continue to blossom over time, because the injuries develop more slowly over time, with something like 68% of just Americans having been vaccinated or boosted, we haven't begun to see the harm and the deaths and the bodies pile up.
Unfortunately, you're right. We haven't. Bruce, my superpower is being able to see around corners. Okay. It's not because I have any mystical ability. It's not because I know everything, but I'm really, really good at pattern recognition. And I'm really good at tying what knowledge I do have and extrapolating based on what I'm seeing. And I saw all of this coming. And I'm often in a position, and I try to do it with humor, to get people to realize, you know, I'm not just spouting off. I actually have a reason for saying the things that I say. And maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for them to at least consider what I have to say when I try to warn them, right? Right. But they always say a prophet is not known in his own hometown, right? So, but I taught my children, I always would say to them, I can't promise you that good things will happen, but I can promise you this, bad things won't happen if you listen to Dad. You know, I would warn them about something. And then they'd go and they'd do exactly what I warned them about, and they got exactly the same result as what I warned them would happen. And I just would say, bad things don't happen when you listen to Dad. And I would say that on my show. I was like, bad things won't happen if you listen to Timbo. Don't get the jab. These things aren't tested. You're not going to die of COVID unless you're over 75. And
all right,
bad things aren't going to happen if you don't take this jab. Just wait and see. They haven't even tested these things. And of course, you know, the Pfizer document came out. Bruce, these things are so deadly. Okay, we had a 5-month-old baby that was nursing die the day after her mother got jabbed. These things are so deadly that in October of 2020, Pfizer had a document on the protocol that these hospital centers needed to follow to be part of the research study. Because that's right, folks. If you got the jab, you were one of the guinea pigs. You were the phase 3 clinical trials. And it says right in it, Bruce, if a pregnant or lactating woman comes in contact with anyone who comes in contact with anyone who had been jabbed, Pfizer safety needed to be reported or notified within 24 hours. And folks, if you find what I'm saying hard to believe, go to MAGAinstitute.com. I linked to it in our article on MAGAinstitute.com. So the scenario is, if a pregnant woman is home and her husband goes to work and he works with somebody who had taken the experimental jab, Pfizer safety needed to be reported within 24 hours. So how do we go from that? How do we go from Pfizer saying that to Pfizer saying pregnant women needed to get it, to Pfizer saying that infants needed to get it? It's absolutely genocidal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shines light on, once that's accepted and understood, to whomever that's news to, how corrupt our healthcare people and institutions, hospitals and pharmaceutical companies, and the media and the governors and senators who got behind lecterns and said, wear the mask, get the shot, just take the shot, get the shot. And every night on the commercials and on billboards, get the shot. It is astounding. And yet it summons the heroic in us, and it makes all of a sudden each one of us a character in a really, really bad analogy, you know, thrilling movie. I mean, we can turn off all the entertainment we watch because we are in the midst of a horrible science fiction, apocalyptic / James Bond movie facing those kind of dangers and villains. And it's imperative to get convinced, find others who know and who have the intention of life, happiness, love, and sanity. Because part and parcel, while we're enduring all this, Tim, as I'm sure you know, is we are fire hosed mis and disinformation and psychological warfare to make us crazy. How the culture is.
We absolutely are. And I think it's intentional. The gaslighting is intentional. I want to pick up right there after the break. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Planned recessions to fight global warming? Economic degrowth is the way forward? Wait till you hear this climate solution.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The once prestigious journal Nature has a new article out, Economic Degrowth Can Work. Here's how science can help. Quote, wealthy countries need to abandon economic growth as an objective to fight against climate breakdown. So forget carbon taxes and the Green New Deal. You need to give up on economic growth. You need to give up on prosperity in order to fight climate breakdown. Notice how climate change doesn't cut it anymore. It's now climate breakdown. Are you ready to abandon economic prosperity and economic growth? Your overlords don't care what you're ready for. They are going to impose it upon you. That is why the Great Reset is in action. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
The Net Zero Con in action. Ursula von der Leyen used a private jet to travel just 31 miles. Yet the EU approves France's ban on select short-haul domestic flights. There is no climate emergency. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My guest is Sauer Bruce DeTorres, author of God, School, 9/11, and JFK, The Lies That Are Killing Us and the Truth That Sets Us Free. You can find it at trineday.com. That's trineday.com. Check out his podcast at brucedetorres.com. That's brucedetorres.com. Bruce, before the break, you likened what we're living through to a movie. And it's funny because I've been saying for years that they normalize what they're going to roll out with drama, with science fiction, 10, 15, even 20 or more years ahead of time. you know, what we're living through now is a less deadly version of 27 days, or, you know, pick your zombie movie here that's caused by a virus, Cloverfield, whatever virus-induced movie you want to talk about from the 1990s and the 2000s. They paved the ground for transhumanism. They've been doing that. Movies like Her, movies like AI. They've been normalizing things, getting people to accept the Minority Report, where Tom Cruise is walking through a hallway and the ads change on the screens and the announcements change. It's all tailored to him based on his device. Well, we've got that technology in shopping malls now and in shopping districts. As you walk along the street, your phone, you'll get different texts from different stores. Here's a coupon, come on in. Gattaca, great science fiction movie. Gattaca, G-A-T-T-A-C-A, which, a little spoiler alert, those are the four letters, nucleotide letters of DNA, and G-A-T-A, guanine, adenine, cytosine, thymine. Hollywood has been gaslighting America and normalizing what the global elites have wanted to push probably for as long as there's been Hollywood, huh?
Yeah, I believe that. But back to the podcast on my site, it's called Trine Days Podcast, because it's Trine Days Podcast. I co-host it and I edit it, but that's Chris Milligan interviewing his various authors. And in the last 2 years, he's interviewed over 100. And anyone can go to my site and find that podcast. It's also on the Trine Day site. It's such an incredible curriculum because each episode's about 30 minutes. And if you just scroll down the titles and see these authors, what they're talking about, my friends, you will get up to speed about all of these kind of things. You're describing, yeah, they show us what they're going to do. People who study it refer to that as the revelation of the method. It's got an esoteric foundation into something Masonic about. They are guilt-free if they show us what they're going to do to us, supposedly, is the sick mindset that might be behind that. It's also predictive programming, because if it's, as you said, it's normalized in movies, right, and fiction, then all of a sudden when it happens, there's no outrage because, well, we've seen, right, it for three, exactly, four, five, whatever years. It's ironic that the best-selling book, I don't know if it was best-selling, a book, The Manchurian Candidate, came out in 1959. A movie came out in 61, 62 about a brainwashed, hypnotized assassin of a potential presidential candidate, or the endeavor.
And just to
the
reinforce it, they remade it with Liev Schreiber to appeal to a younger audience about 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all based on MKUltra research. That's also in my book. Bruce, is everything in your book? Yes, everything's in my book.
That's awesome. Yeah, folks, MKUltra, yeah, not a conspiracy theory, an actual honest-to-goodness CIA program. Go look at the church hearing proceedings in 1975.
Yeah.
Mockingbird Media, and same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And just with an eye on, you know, ending this eventually, this conversation, it's really important to remember life and reality, which is how parents love their kids, how animals love us, how a blade of grass will burst through an acre of blacktop, meaning as much as we try to suppress life, the life force is reality. And I believe that it's eternal and it's relentless. Meaning,
well, that's that great line. Yeah, that's that great line that Jeff Goldblum's character in Jurassic Park made, right? Life will always find a way.
Yeah, friends. Yeah. And I just wanted to see that as a point to get to before we end, Tim, as we get back to the awful corruption and the insidious nature of Hollywood and its products.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost comical, right? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, there's been great studies that show how it's an extension of the CIA and the intelligence agencies. There's a fellow named Jay Dyer, D-Y-E-R, who's got podcasts galore all over the place. Look him up. Jay's Analysis, I think, is his website. And his books are Esoteric Hollywood, Volumes 1 and 2, and he breaks down all the symbolism because there is a death cult that's got a lot of members in high positions of power. And there's also the secret societies that have placed a lot of people throughout all these things that are accomplishing this incredible effort to mess with our heads. And I think it's just purely their sick, perverse idea of fun, because they are really, really psychopathic, malformed, traumatized people who intentionally inflict trauma on their members to get them enrolled in serving their agenda. And what we are receiving as a society worldwide, and definitely in America, is the same trauma-based mind control to make us jelly. We don't know up from down, right or wrong, boys from girls, and we'll just go along with absurdities. And like Voltaire said, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities.
Exactly, exactly. And I say that it's a, you know, with the left, up is down, left is right, and right is wrong. And it's to the point where I don't know whether he's Ernst Blofeld or whether he's Mike Myers in Goldfinger or Goldmember, right? Dr.
Klaus
Evil.
Schwab.
I don't know. I don't know whether Klaus Schwab is Ernst Blofeld, yes, or whether he's Dr. Evil. He's certainly cartoonish. And it talk about a not so secret society. He openly brags about having placed Justine Castro as Prime Minister of Canada and half of his cabinet. And he's bragging about all the cabinet officers he has, the cabinet ministers he has around the world, the power he's gotten through the World Economic Foundation. We've got Dan Crenshaw here in the United States. You know, Dan is no America First conservative. A lot of people, in fact, and this is what I counsel people, stop looking to politicians to quote unquote save us. Ron DeSantis wasn't in Skull and Bones at Yale College, but he was in St. Elmo. Skull and Bones isn't the only secret society, folks. Look into it. Right. Ron DeSantis was in St. Elmo. He's Yale College, Harvard Law School. So is he as America First as we think he is, or is he another one like Dan Crenshaw, who talks a good game, gets us all enthused, and then stabs us in the back? Time will tell. But please, please, please stop looking to politicians to save us. As my guest Bruce DeTorres says, we've got to take care of each other. And Bruce, we are a big advocate here. My partner Brooke McGowan and I at MAGA Institute advocate direct local action involvement in our communities. We got to take care of ourselves, our family, and our communities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's where we can make a difference and find real life people in real life to bond with, support, and get, you know, and have fun with. Let's not forget fun.
Yeah, let's get out there and recreate. Get some fresh air and have a good laugh at all the people still wearing masks. God love them.
God love them. God help them, and just give us the strength to persevere as we see what's coming. But also, we need a healthy outrage to demand truth and justice. As futile as it, you know, it seemed, we were discussing it before, how to pursue justice. Yeah, I would put 80% of our effort into anything we can do locally, Tim. But for the big stuff, like JFK and other truths, et cetera, we need to make our representatives, we need to breathe down their throat and give them no rest until they come up with the truth and the justice we demand.
We really do, and it might take decades, right? We just had a 97-year-old woman, and granted it was a symbolic sentence, but we just had a 97-year-old woman who was just one of several typists for the camp commandant back in World War II. Be sentenced for her role in the death of over 10,000 Jews. So, folks, maybe it's going to be 60, 70 years down the road, but eventually the truth will out, and I firmly believe that we'll receive justice. Might only be some symbolic justice, but it will be justice nonetheless. Bruce, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I've really enjoyed our conversation. We might disagree on one or two details, but I think we're of the same heart, and we're definitely fighting the same good fight. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, that was Bruce DeTorres. You can find him at brucedetorres.com. That's B-R-U-C-E-D-E-T-O-R-R-E-S. TrineDay.com and also TrineDay.com, T-R-I-N-E-D-A-Y. Go check out those books. Go educate yourself. He says it's a great curriculum. Go find out for yourself. Make up your own minds, all right? Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.